Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight. I might levitate right through the heaven's gate. Rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae. Simple and plain like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks. I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags. My first rap, catch Roberta Flack. I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect, all I need to check. Mic check.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2, ladies and gentlemen. This is the end of the season episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and if I sound unreasonably chipper, it's probably because for the first time in a long time, I haven't had to watch a broken down version of our as a fan base and bloggerdom and Grizzlies Twitter and whatever we want to associate ourselves as. We don't have to watch this broken down version of our team anymore. And that's glorious, ladies and gentlemen. I have to be honest with you. I have enjoyed these days without having to watch Jordan Farmar starting at the point guard. And I know that may not be the most popular opinion, but I think there are some folks that are on my side. Thank you for joining me on this season-ending episode. As I said, we are ending our regular season coverage with tonight's episode. We will go on a brief hiatus as the NBA playoffs play through the semifinals and the Western and Eastern Conference finals. When the NBA finals kick back up here in about a month, we will be back on these Blog Talk Radio airwaves, and we will start our summer session of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. But this is our last episode for the next few weeks, and we are so grateful for you joining us. Ways to get in touch with the program. You can follow me on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Joe Mullinax, at Joemullinax. You can follow the show on Twitter, which is the easiest, fastest way to interact with the program, at GBB Live. And also you can follow the mothership, grizzlybearblues.com, over at SBN Grizzlies. You can also hop into the chat room as we speak. The chat room is live. I highly recommend that you get into the chat. That's another great direct way I run the chat. If you're listening to the live program, you can get into the chat room. If you have a question for myself, Maddie B, who I'll bring back on here in a moment, or Jason March, we're excited to have him back on the show. If you have a question for any of us, by all means, hit us up there. The program this evening, we got two guests. The first guest is fantastic. His name is Matt Bishop. I have created this term for him because he's done just a tremendous job with Chris Faulkner being, you know, not being around as often for a variety of reasons. And Chris is doing a very good job, of course, with the site. But Matty B has stepped up. So I'm calling him the Grizzly Bear Blues interim site manager. All right. And he also is a contributor. He's an all-around good guy, Matt Bishop, at The Amazing Matty B on Twitter. I'm going to bring him back on here in a moment. And we're going to talk about the season that was. We're going to talk about the playoffs. Some other teams have suffered some, not all, but some of the injury pain that the Memphis Grizzlies had to go through. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And we'll also do our end-of-the-season thank yous, myself and Matty, thanking our staff and all of that fun stuff over at grizzlybearblues.com. For a great season. And of course, thanking you, the wonderful listeners. Then in the second segment, Coach Jason March, we've had him on the show before, assistant coach and advanced scout for your Memphis Grizzlies, will be on the program. We're excited to have him back. We'll talk about what it's like to game plan against Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. We'll talk about the emotion that Dave Yeager showed in his end of the season press conference. And we'll talk about a look ahead. Coach March has been the head coach of the Summer League team for the past couple of seasons for the Grizzlies. Not sure how much of that is finalized just a few days after the regular season ending. But what must Memphis improve on, both with their young players in the Summer League and then beyond, looking to the draft, looking to free agency? What do the Grizzlies have to do to get better moving forward this summer? I have a sneaky suspicion one of the top priorities will be signing a certain number 11, certain captain of the Grizzlies, Mr. Mike Conley. but we'll talk to Coach March about that. So we'll talk to Coach March here in about 30 minutes or so. But before we get to all of that, it is for the final time for a month or so, some Grizzly Bear news. And for the Grizzly Bear news segment, I welcome in all-around good guy over at GBB, interim site manager, a title that I came up with and created. Chris Faulkner, of course, still holding the reins, but he could use a helping hand every now and again, and this man has been there to provide that. And then some, Mr. Matt Bishop, how are you doing this evening?
What a do, Joe. You know, I'm just trying to keep the lights on.
Trying to keep the lights on. You put it well. See, I'm long-winded, and I say all these different things, and I'm just keeping the lights on, and that's the best
I'm
way
the
to put it.
I'm the master of the 200-word column. You know how that goes?
See, and unfortunately, I'm the master of the 2,000-word column, it would seem. So if we can get in between 1,000, I think that we'll be cooking with gas there. But anyway, thank you so much, Maddie, of course, for joining me. And we are hyping this as a season-ending episode. We'll look ahead a little bit. But this really is kind of putting a bow on what the regular season was for these Memphis Grizzlies. And aside from the last, you know, month or so being an out-and-out hell, if we're all being honest with each other, watching this team play, I believe the final count was 3-17 in their last 20 games.
Yep.
A team that probably isn't making the playoffs. It might be, I know I've heard Chris Harrington say this, and I agree with him. This is probably the worst incarnation of the Memphis Grizzlies we've ever seen, you know, or every bit as bad as the teams that were running up and down the pyramid court, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. But it's looking at this series, and I wrote an article about this, between the Dave Yeager show of emotion, between, you know, Tony Allen and Vince Carter having that moment that I think some folks have forgotten about, where they kind of embraced on the court at a timeout, the professionalism that was shown and the level of heart and fight that was demonstrated by this basketball team, you don't see that in professional sports. And I think that is, when I talk to people here in Virginia where I am now, and I tell them who my favorite NBA team is, and I say the Memphis Grizzlies, 9 times out of 10, when I'm asked this question, people say the first thing is, why? Why do you like the Memphis Grizzlies? And I explain that I lived in Memphis for a few years. But then I go, if somebody I'm actually having a conversation with, I go a little bit more in depth and I say, I have never seen not just a professional basketball team, but a professional sports team play with the level of professionalism and heart, and that is passed into the coach now. And this Grizzlies team is special, Maddie. And I think that even with them being losers, as I said in my article that I posted, there's no doubt the San Antonio Spurs, they beat the Grizzlies very soundly. Memphis only won 3 of the 16 quarters in the entire series. It's still something to be proud of that they were able to get into the playoffs and show themselves. I mean, for example, I wrote an article, you know, saying how proud we are of our loser Grizzlies. And then SB Nation, several days later after the Houston Rockets are eliminated, posts an article that says, good riddance. I mean, there has to be something that has to mean something, right?
I think you're right there. Matter of fact, that's the example that I was going to use was going to be the Houston Rockets. Would be a team that, you know, look, to be honest, they sent 5 guys in the starting lineup out there every night against the San Antonio Spurs, who won 67 games, were almost undefeated at home, and are just straight up awesome. And they sent 5 guys, 4 of which may not be even on the team next year, and 2 of them may not even be in the league. And they sent those guys out there every night. And they hung in there, and they hung in there, and they never looked like they wanted to quit. You never had that moment where, and still, my favorite moment of the entire postseason wasn't even a Grizzly game. It was from that Rockets series where James Harden hits that shot to win the game, and nobody even looks happy. Because they don't even want to even be there, right? These guys look like they wanted to be there. And like they wanted to hang in, and like they wanted to hang in, and like they thought they could hang in until the very end, and that's something that you could be proud about. You know, I'm super proud of being a Grizzly fan and getting to do the things that we get to do in and around with SB Nation with them. It's just you're right when you say this, that this kind of incarnation is an extremely special and different kind of fan experience that maybe anybody else in the entire league doesn't get. And you know what? To me, it doesn't even matter if they never win. If they never win an NBA championship, one team out of 29 every year only gets to win. And there's lots of franchises that have never won one. But it's an amount of personal pride. It's an amount of professionalism. It's an amount of don't quit in them every night that was just fantastic. Even though, God, those last 20 games were awful hard to watch a lot of nights.
And that is something that you can take pride in. That is something,
yeah,
as I mentioned in my article, and thanks to everybody who spread it around, retweeted, all that stuff, nice comments about the Memphis Grizzlies are losers, which I kind of twist, I pull you in, and then you're mad at me, and then you're like, oh, never mind, it's not as mad. But you read it, and you feel the genuine emotion that I feel about the team, whether you think it's well-written or not. I had a couple of people not like the headline. It's about the emotion, like Maddie just talked about, that comes with being proud of what the team that you follow, the team that you support, does. The Houston Rockets, and you bring up a great moment, Maddie, a game-winning shot. Can you imagine if the Memphis Grizzlies, if Vince Carter had done that with this group, and they somehow beat the Spurs on a game-winning shot like that, it would have been pandemonium. They would have had to drag
the building
Tony
would have caught
Allen
fire
off the
at
court.
That point.
And if it happened in the FedEx Forum, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That the roof would still be coming down from that building. It's such a interesting look at professional sports for me, because I live in the Washington, D.C. area now, for those listeners who don't know. And aside from the Capitals, who we'll talk about briefly at the end, Matty B, aside from them, there's not really people are passionate about the Redskins, but there's not that deep class professional, the Washington Redskins. No one would say that the Washington Redskins, whether or not you like the name or whatever, they don't represent the city. The Washington Nationals don't represent the city. The Washington Capitals don't really represent the city. And the Washington Wizards sure as hell don't represent the city. They're at the bottom. They're at the bottom of that foursome. It's amazing from somebody who hasn't seen it on a professional level. And I was talking to Jeff Calkins about this on a previous show. This is something that you usually see in high school or in college. This is a real deep emotional feeling that a city has for its professional sports team. And that is unique. That doesn't exist everywhere. And I do think that that is something to be applauded. And even if they're losers, which they are, by definition, they lost, and they lost gloriously. But they didn't lay down like a Philadelphia did. They don't say that they're in the process of something and they're losing on purpose. That's the worst attitude you could possibly have, in my opinion. And don't come at me with the, actually, you're getting a lottery pick. I get the argument. I get it, Maddie. I get it. But you can't tell that to a player and a coach. That's not ingrained in their system. They're not going to go out there and just lay down. They're going to compete if they are worth their salt. And the Memphis Grizzlies are worth their salt. And I am very proud to be a supporter of that losing cheering section.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, that was just, it's, and you know what the great thing is that it feels like it's so ingrained in the culture that no matter how many players, like we've written about this week, that there may be as many as 8 different players on the team next year, that they'll just recycle them and we'll start with a whole new group of guys that will be in the same culture and have the same attitude, and that's going to be pretty great going forward.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. I am joined at this time by the Matt Bishop, GBB interim site manager / contributor. You can follow him on Twitter at the amazing Matty B. All around good guy. Make sure you're following him as we move through the offseason. Now, before we move on to the Western Conference playoffs at large, and then briefly talk about the offseason, because we got to leave a little something to discuss when we come back during the finals. Dave Yeager, and I was listening to the Commercial Appeals podcast that they do, and they do a great job. It was Ron Tillery, Jeff Calkins, and Chris Harrington. And we've had Calkins and Harrington on the show before. They're fantastic. And they're talking about in their podcast how this season will forever now be remembered as the season where Dave Yeager cried. And they say that, and it's a term to me, I won't speak for Jeff, but to me, listening to that statement, it's a term of endearment. Like, that's, again, a sign of caring that you don't normally see, a sign of investment from a young man. Again, he's 42 years old. He's younger than Eric Spoelstra. He's younger than a lot of these other guys that are in the mix for that top 10 list of NBA coaches. As we posted over at grizzlybearblues.com this week, make sure you're checking it out as you listen to the show. Dave Yeager finishes seventh in the voting for NBA Coach of the Year. It's realistic to say he's a top 10 NBA coach at this point. Plus, he is that emotionally invested in the guys that he works with. Maddie, how much more do you respect Coach Yeager after the series that just unfolded with the San Antonio Spurs and the press conference thereafter? I mean, I guess in theory you could respect him less, but I don't understand how.
But I definitely don't respect him less. There, I remember Chris Harrington saying that essentially what he did with this roster was, instead of taking lemons and turning them into lemonade, he took lemons and turned them into lemon juice, because really that was about as much as you could expect from him. But I thought this season really weighed on him kind of by the end. He looked tired. He looked worn out. And I think that last kind of press conference was kind of this big culminating moment of, wow, did this season suck? And to see, once again, not only to see it from the players on the court, but to see it from the coaching staff, to kind of look around and say, but this was bad, but we went out there every night and kept swinging and kept fighting. And even Greg Popovich said after the game, after game four, he said that this entire series wasn't even a fair fight. And they didn't know that every night that they went out, like, they didn't know it wasn't a fair fight. But I thought that there was one moment in game four that I thought was kind of the Dave Yeager moment besides the crying. And it's that moment when the lights are out, right? Then they have that delay for 18 minutes while the lights are out, and no one can see the clipboard. So Dave goes over to the table and puts rosin on the scorer's table and is drawing up plays on the scorer's table. And everybody's paying attention, even Tony Allen, who is the definition of NBA ADHD.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was a really kind of cool moment. I mean, like, I thought that where else are you going to get that? Where even in this moment where they know that they're going home, they're probably going home today, that this is the last time they're in this ridiculous situation where they're having to play at noon on a Sunday. Nobody is really paying attention to them nationally. And Dave is literally coaching his ass off. And I thought that was kind of the super respectful moment. Even more to me than the crying was that moment where he's like drawing up plays in rosin on the scorer's table.
That's an awesome example. That really is. That is, and that's coaching in a nutshell. On a much smaller scale, I'm a coach myself, and that resonated with me as well. And I didn't think to point it out, so you certainly get credit. But I remember now that you mention it, being impressed with that because of the fact that is, you know, when you have your players' attention, whatever level of sport that you're coaching, and when they value your input, and obviously in professional sports, a little bit different. They're paid to do it, but there's a connection there. Again, it comes back to that moment of connection, that moment of impact mentally, emotionally, where a team and a coach and his players, and it all kind of just mixes and works together well. And again, it comes down to culture, and I think you said that earlier, Maddie B. And that's not something that you get from purposely losing. You get it through going and investing your heart into things. You get it from putting out everything you possibly can, and sometimes you're not going to reach the ultimate goal, as you put it. You know, there's 29 other teams in the NBA that aren't going to win a championship this year. There's only one every year that wins. And if you look over the history of the National Basketball Association, more often than not, it's the Celtics or the Lakers, or whoever the hell LeBron is playing for, or the Chicago Bulls. You know, that's 75%.
And the Warriors for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and the war. Yeah, exactly right. So you have to find, and this is a change of philosophy for me the past couple of seasons, and in talking to folks like you and Calkins and others that you've helped me adjust my – it's about the journey, man. It's about – you want them to win a championship. That's the goal every year. And we can sit here on a podcast and we can write articles, as we will throughout the offseason, over at grizzlybearblues.com, talking about what might have been and where a slip might have happened and health this and free agency that. But you got to enjoy what you got. And I have to believe that, A, there's 14 other NBA teams that would have liked to have been in the playoffs, and B, there's got to be at least 20 or so that have to look at the Memphis Grizzlies with some sense of jealousy because of the way that they make the playoffs and because of the way that people, you know, you rarely, aside from style of play, which is a fair knock, to say the least, you don't hear people call the Grizzlies dogs like they call the Rockets for, you know, there's no good riddance right. Grizzlies. People respect the Memphis Grizzlies, and that has right. to mean something. We're talking with Matty B here of grizzlybearblues.com. Of course, he is a contributor. He's the interim site manager. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at the amazing Matty B. Now, Matty, we look at the Western Conference playoffs at large, and now that the Grizzlies are out, you know, the undisputed lock to win the NBA championship, now the whole thing is up in ruins with Memphis gone. Of course, I'm joking. But it looks like the San Antonio Spurs obviously get the rest that they wanted, and they're an excellent basketball team, and they deserve to move on, and I'm sure they will continue to have success. Golden State has moved on without Steph Curry. He'll be out for at least another week or so, if not a little bit more than a week, with his knee sprain. The Clippers are going to be without Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, possibly the rest of the playoffs, and that might be just one more game. The Portland Trailblazers are up a game on them. You know, you look at the West, and now that the Clippers have gone down, Oklahoma City likely will move on themselves, or they already have, excuse me. Oklahoma City moving on. They have a series with the Spurs coming up. The Warriors are probably looking at Portland or the Clippers and licking their chops a little bit. Do the Warriors really have a competitor outside of the Spurs and the Thunder? Like, whoever comes out of that Portland Clippers series, the Warriors are going to beat in four or five games, right? Probably five.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. So, even if the Clippers win that series and they're healthy, I don't think that they hang around with the Warriors for that long. I'm you know, I've continued to be. I mean, the Clippers are fine, and I know that we all hate them and everything, and they're fine, and I can say all the things. I have, you know, year in and year out, they have absolutely one of the most talented teams in the league, and they just are just kind of fair to Midland most of the time. And so even with them kind of being out, even with their injuries with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, and even though I would have loved to have had another Grizzlies-Clippers series, because who knows what either of these teams are going to look like in the next season, I think that no matter what, I think the Warriors are going to take down Portland or the Clippers. And then San Antonio and Oklahoma City is going to be an absolute war. And then the winner of that series is going to be in for another war. And I think it's going to be a fantastic. I have a general rule: once my team is out, I can't watch basketball for an entire round. So I'll catch you guys back in the Western Conference Finals, because I just can't do it for a round. But I usually come back. I think, you know, and I think that this also lends to the fact that there was a lot of debate, you know, after Marc Gasol broke his foot, should they just tank and get out of the playoffs and anything like this, and, you know, should they just drop out, and, you know, and my thing is, you get in the playoffs because you absolutely never know what will happen. That Steph Curry could fall on a puddle of water and be out for part of a series, and that maybe you draw them at eight, and maybe you get to take some swings at them, you know, and otherwise with a more healthy team. Maybe you draw the Clippers in the first round and they have two guys go down. And so my philosophy has always been, well, why don't you just get in and see what happens? because that's the way that, that you know, there's no real determining fact. There's no real, you know, this team is going to kill everybody in the playoffs every year. You know, we had that in 2013. We were very fortunate that we drew an Oklahoma City team that lost Russell Westbrook. And if we don't get in the playoffs every year and we don't go to Oklahoma City, maybe somebody else goes to the Western Conference Finals for the first time instead of us.
You're exactly right. We're chatting with Matty B of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at the amazing Matty B. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Matty, a couple of things before we get you out of here. First, again, we're saving our off-season talk. We're going to let this one marinate a little bit. You know, the season just ended. People get excited. Of course, at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, we've already started talking about free agency. The blog is going to keep moving. But here in podcast form, we're going to let the season marinate a little bit. But just kind of a preview for when we return during the NBA Finals. The key off-season storylines for the Grizzlies, obviously Mike Conley would be number one for most folks. How that contract situation is going to play out. The Grizzlies can offer him max money. They can offer him max years. Are they going to be willing to overpay for him? Conley's comments make it sound like he might be a little bit more willing to leave. How Stinson's contract plays out, if they opt him in or if they opt out. Most folks think he'll opt out. Will they bring him back for more years with less money per year? What are the things that you're looking for heading into the offseason outside of Mike Conley? And we'll talk about who folks in the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day would like to bring back here in a moment. But outside of Conley, what are your key offseason storylines?
For me, I wrote about this today in the in the second part of our who's going to hang around from this Grizzlies team. It's Lance Stephenson. I think that if they bring Lance Stephenson back at his team option price, I think that says a lot about what they actually can do during free agency. I think that they think that there's not much out there for them to get, that they need to have some sort of offensive production, and that offensive production is going to have to come from Stephenson. To take him out of his team option and try to sign him for less money at more years always runs the risk of somebody else reaching in there and snatching him, because the free agent season next year is going to be awash with money, and there are not going to be very many players that are going to take less money to come back. So I think that kind of that, to me, the Lance Stephenson thing sets a tone for what the offseason is going to be like. Is this Grizzly team going to be a lot different? And I think you're going to notice that if they do pick up Lance Stephenson's option, this team won't look that different. If they don't, I think that they have a kind of different sort of plan, and I think that we're going to be looking at a different sort of team next season.
Yes, and I think I agree with all of that, and the Stephenson contract really is a fascinating example of that. Some folks in the question of the day I asked, kind of based off of your article that you posted, who do they want to see come back? And Jonah Jordan, in true Jonah Jordan fashion, says he doesn't want to see any of them come back, Maddie. He wants them all gone. He says none. Bear Witness Blog, that's Wes George, again, one of our great contributors. He says, Vince, ideally he isn't playing rotation minutes. Presence and leadership is worth the relatively cheap contract. Vince Carter isn't a free agent, but treating him as such, given his partially guaranteed contract, which is fair. Darren Kalk, who has been on our he went to Game 4. He was our ticket winner last week. Thanks for chiming in, Darren, and I hope you had fun. Lance at a lower contract, his scoring ability on the second team and potentially some with the starters is much needed. He won't have to play point guard with Conley around, but he has great natural ability that I think could play well with the starters. Stephen Duffel at Duffelupagus, which is a fantastic Twitter handle. Duffelupagus. That's pretty solid. He says Matt. I'm guessing he means Matt Barnes. Maybe he means you. But Stephen, thank you for chiming in.
I'll take
Matt Barnes, which is fascinating when you think about it. Matt Barnes is a guy that people actually want to come back to Memphis. Mario Chalmers from Keith Wright at K-Dub to the house. Thank you, sir. Russell Smith at Boatman Snaps 13 says Matt Barnes with some scary faces after it. And then we have Diane H., that Tigers Griznut, who says all 28 of them. Now, I'm not quite sure that's possible, but it would be nice It would be nice to have 28 guys, especially if you have these health issues that you had this season. So thanks to everybody who chimed in with the question of the day. Conley obviously is the major storyline, but I do think Lance is somebody to watch. Before we get out of here, Maddie B, with you at least on the segment, here's a chance for some thank yous. As I said, you have been a tremendous interim site manager with Chris Faulkner, kind of going through a transition in what he does on a day-to-day basis. You've stepped up. You've been terrific. So I want to say thank you to you, Maddie. I want to make sure I had you on as the guest. You have been a fantastic, a godsend for the blog in terms of keeping things going, keeping the lights on, as you put it. So I want to make sure I said thank you to you, sir. You did a tremendous job all the way through the playoffs, all the way through the end of the regular season. You had an unenviable job trying to keep those lights on, and you did it very well, sir. So thank you for everything that you did for the blog. I wanted to make sure I gave a special shout-out to you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. And, you know, I want to thank Chris for giving me the chance. I kind of noticed that maybe there may be a chance to need some help, and I became more available to do so, and so I've been trying to, you know, kind of help out wherever I can. I want to thank everybody who stayed up on a lot of West Coast games that we had no business being in and weren't in for very long, but hung in until 1 or 2 in the morning, depending on your time zone. And I want to thank the rest of the guys from the site. Just the continual excellence that comes out of our product every time that we put something out is absolutely fantastic. And I am exceedingly fortunate to get to, at least on an interim basis, put my name beside a lot of you guys' work. And I really appreciate that. Joe, I appreciate your podcast. It's a fun thing to do. Podcasts are great. I want to thank people on Twitter. I want to thank Grizz Nation on Twitter because you guys made some awful games awful fun. I don't even remember what it was like to watch basketball before Twitter now. And so I want to thank everybody from that. And it was a long, strange trip, indeed. And so I'm continually thankful for everybody who does the work and everybody who watches the games and everybody who reads our site and everybody who, you know, kind of contributes. I mean, that just means an awful lot. And so, we will get geared up and draft coverage starts in about a month, and even though our draft guys are already, hitting the Mountain Dew in the middle of the night and watching footage of European guys, we're gonna get this thing geared up and ready, and maybe for some more positive days coming in the near future.
Yes, the sun will come out tomorrow, as was famously said in Annie. And I think that there's a sunrise on the way with a new season very much in the distance still, of course. But it's an exciting time over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. We continue our work preparing for the off season. We've already put out free agency questions. I'll focus on free agency myself in the Friday 3 this weekend. We've already done some draft stuff. So the podcast is taking a break until the NBA finals, but the blog is most certainly not. Make sure you're making GrizzlyBearBlues.com your one stop for and your best stop for Memphis Grizzlies analysis. And it wouldn't be the same without Mr. Matt Bishop. Maddie, thank you so much for joining me tonight, and we'll catch you on the flip side, sir.
Thanks, Joe. And Pens in 7.
Pens? Ah, dang it. Ah, Caps in 5, dude.
Caps in 5.
Boo! And on that note, Mr. Bishop, have a good night, sir. All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Matt Bishop, Matt B. Wonderful, wonderful site contributor over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Site manager, deluxe, supreme. He does a great job. We're appreciative of Matty and all that he does. And as he said, and he's exactly right, we're appreciative of you for frequenting the blog and listening to the podcast as well. We carry on with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. And before I get to my next guest on our season-ending episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live for the 2015-2016 season, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. First, TickIQ at TickIQ. Thank you so much to TickIQ for sponsoring our Game 4 ticket. We made two fans very, very, very happy sending them to Game 4 and being able to give the Memphis Grizzlies the standing applause that they deserve, or the rounding standing ovation, I should say, that they deserved at the end of the series. That was never really in doubt, but that was kind of put into motion with all the injuries, of course. So thank you to TickIQ, tremendous ticket site. Make sure you're using TickIQ.com for all your ticket needs throughout the summer, baseball, whatever it might be, going into football season, concerts, use TickIQ.com. And then also FanEssentials.net, who is sponsoring our one-month FanEssentials.net giveaway. Make sure you're following Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and you can find different Twitter giveaways. We have one coming up tonight. It will be our last one for a while, of course, but FanEssentials.net is your one-stop. Make it your one-stop, and it should be really your one-stop because you don't even have to go shopping anymore. That's the thing I love about it. You just sign up for as little as $14.99 a month, that you give them your sizes, and they send you Grizzlies gear. It doesn't get any better than that, any easier than that. You can use the promo code GBBLive to get an even better deal on your FanEssentials.net gear. Make sure you're doing that with that promo code GBBLive, and make sure you're checking out FanEssentials.net. It's the easiest way to get Grizzlies gear there is, as far as I'm concerned. My next guest, my final guest for the 2015-2016 basketball season for the Memphis Grizzlies. It's fitting because he's one of my favorites. He's a member of the coaching staff of the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm excited to talk to him about what it's like to game plan against a Greg Popovich and folks like that. He's also an advanced scout for the club. He is also involved in the Summer League. We'll ask him about that. It's always fun to get a little bit of knowledge and catch up with Coach Jason March. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, sir. Excited to have you back on the program. I hope you've found some time the past few days to kind of catch your breath. I know between the end of the season and the playoffs, it must have gotten pretty crazy there for you guys those last couple of weeks.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you're running around. You know, you don't know who you're going to play, and you're trying to prep for just about anyone. It wasn't quite as crazy as last year, but yeah, the last few weeks of the season is definitely a kind of a circus, and you know, you're trying to get the players ready, but at the same time trying to get yourself ready for what you're going to see in the playoffs, and not knowing who you're going to play, it sure can get a little crazy for you.
Absolutely. So let's get right into it with the boss man, so to speak, head coach Dave Yeager. And the thing that has been the focus of our blog and of other blogs and of Grizzlies Twitter and all the different ways that you can take in an NBA basketball team at this point as a fan, one of the major talking points has been Coach Yeager's emotional showing at his press conference there at the end of Game 4. To me, as again, I'm a football coach at a high school, Coach March, and I, on a much smaller scale, can relate to that emotion, because when you're so invested in something and you're so invested in the people that you work with, and when you go through the adversity that Coach Yeager and his staff, including you, went through alongside the players, of course, for all of those days and all those weeks, that release, when it's over, it's a sadness, but it's also a relief, but it's also just an emotional, you know, upheaval of all that you've been digging and grinding through. So when you watch Coach Yeager's presser, when you see the effort that these Memphis Grizzlies basketball players, these professional players, which continues to impress me, these are guys, you know, you see the reaction to the Houston Rockets and how they get eliminated and how they play the game. You don't see that with the Memphis Grizzlies. This is a special group. So do you feel a real sense of pride as a coach when you see, A, your boss showing that kind of emotion for the basketball world to see, and then B, your players play with the heart that they did in the face of, if being honest with each other, pretty tough times?
Yeah, I mean, it makes you exactly what you said. I mean, you're honored just to be a part of that group of guys and Coach Yeager's staff. It's what you saw. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, the season was unbelievable in all kinds of different ways. We all saw that. And, you know, the thing that people forget is, you know, Coach Yeager has a family at home as well, that with the season that goes on and the ups and downs and the twists and turns, especially of this year, you know, he still has a family. And I think what you saw after the game wasn't just about the year and the series against the Spurs or what some guys did or the all the guys did throughout the year. It's what it, you said it. It's that relief. It's the just kind of the exhale on the season. And you know, and then obviously the number one thing, this, I mean, the game just ended. It's the disappointment too. I mean, no one wants to end. It doesn't matter. You know, what we went through. You don't want it to be over. You know, you want to go as far as you can. And so there's the disappointment that hits first. But I think what you saw from Coach is, you know, the just the time away from his family that he spent all year, the what the guys gave, and just the emotional ups and downs of the season. And it was just that exhale of the season, and just, you know, it all came out. I don't know that there's really words for it, to be honest with you. I think it was just the emotion of the year that came out, and I think it was unbelievable. I will tell you, he came back after the interview, and we didn't know what happened in the interview, to be honest with you. And he came back into the locker room, and you just see that he obviously his emotions got the best of him. And I felt the same way as what we've read on Twitter, and I'm sure all of you guys. It just the sense of the pride that, man, I work for a guy that cares that much about his players, the organization, and trying to win. No matter what the odds were handed to us, he wanted to win games. And, you know, it wasn't what we wanted. Like I said, there was disappointment. But, you know, I don't think anyone can say we didn't, and obviously the players didn't give everything they had in their bodies to try to win and extend the season.
And I wrote about that exact thing for the blog, and I talk about how so often there's so many people that are jaded about professional, and now it's even starting to trickle down into college sports. You know, people are going to collect a paycheck, or the players are going just so they can move on to the next level. There's a lot of people that go through the motions, or it's corrupt, and there's so much negativity that can kind of surround, especially professional sports nowadays. It really is good to see that genuine show of emotion and that genuine caring for the people that you work with and the craft that you are in. It really inspired me, and I know it inspired others, and it's good to hear that it does the same for you. We're talking with Jason March, assistant coach and advanced scout for your Memphis Grizzlies. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, and I highly recommend that you do, at Jason L. March. Now, Coach, one of the impressive things about the playoffs is you really kind of step your game up. And again, so often it's left out, the idea of a coach having to step their game up, because now you're going from going against teams that are constantly undermanned, like unfortunately the Grizzlies were towards the end of the season, or, you know, you're going against teams who maybe have inexperienced coaching or whatever it might be. But you go from that, and you go from back-to-backs, and you go from the grueling NBA schedule into a series against arguably four Hall of Famers: Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Popovich as a head coach. And you have to game plan against these guys. So what makes the Spurs machine so good? What is it like to have to try to game plan and break down ways to defeat Greg Popovich and company?
Yeah, I mean, what makes them good is their consistency, their discipline, their depth. You know, there was one point when they were up pretty good, and they start putting in guys who were inactive in the first game. And you're talking about a guy like Andre Miller, who's been in the league for a long time, veteran guy. And, you know, it's unbelievable who they just – keep rolling guys out there that could be a playoff team on their own, almost. You know, their bench is possibly a playoff team. And so the one thing with the Spurs and really some of these teams, you know, now we've seen for quite a few years in a row, Oklahoma City for one, even though it is a different coach, which would have been a little bit different. But we do know these teams more than others, I think I would say, because we've played them so often. So, you game plan like crazy as much as you can, and we did extensive work to try to give us any advantage. And it's funny, I mean, not that any other year we haven't done that, but it's like this year we knew we had to do every possible thing. Don't leave one thing unturned, because we had to give ourselves the most possible advantage to try to win a game or two or a series. And, you know, we went through everything, and you game plan for Coach Popovich, who has so many different things. I'm talking about a playbook that is just unbelievable. He can pull out plays. In fact, he did pull out plays that we haven't seen since the 2011 season. He ran a couple plays against us, and we're just like, man, he can go to anything he wants. But, again, it's the consistency. And so it does make it difficult. It makes it fun as well. You know, what's better than a good challenge? And we definitely got hit with a heck of a challenge with those guys, and they're an incredible team. And I have a feeling we're going to be watching them for a while here over the next month or so.
Yes, I would agree. And that Oklahoma City-San Antonio series is really going to be impressive. It's kind of a matchup of, you know, two of the top five or six players in the NBA, athleticism, all of that, against that Spurs machine. Now, it wasn't San Antonio's best series, Coach. So the Grizzlies did have some success, especially when it comes to forcing turnovers. So maybe that is the area you would mention. But is there anything else that you think that the Grizzlies, even with all of their injuries, they did
Spurs?
Well,
touch on what you said there first with defensively and turning them over a little bit. I thought our defense played very well the entire series. Now, of course, you know, a couple games when they got out of hand, they scored a few buckets at the end that didn't help as far as score and all that good stuff. But we really made them go to, like I said, I mean, he's pulling out plays and different things, trying to catch us on something that we wouldn't know or haven't seen. And I mean, all the credit goes to Coach and then the players for dialing in and being focused and ready to go. But, we were able to actually find a few things and try to take advantage of some of the stuff that was hurting them. One of the things that obviously Coach made the change in the lineup when he went small. And we sure didn't think, or at least I should speak for myself, I didn't think that we would ever make San Antonio adjust to what we were doing, because in the past, that's just not what Coach Popovich does. Well, he did size down at one point, and he had to match up with us because we were hurting him a little bit with it. Another thing we did, we put Zach on the other block because they were coming so quick in the first couple games, and we knew where they were coming from on double teams and even triple teaming Zach to just get the ball out of his hands. So we moved him around a little bit, and I think that hurt him a little bit. You know, so there was definitely some things that we could take advantage of. I do believe that when Oklahoma City, which I'm sure they're doing probably right now as we speak, going through film and seeing some of the things that we did, I think they're going to pick up some things that we did, and they'll be able to, you'll see it in the next series, and they'll be able to use some of those things. But I also, and I said it to one of the other coaches during a timeout, with us making them make those adjustments, I think the Spurs actually learned some things from playing us, which I don't think anyone expected going into the series. They, like I said, had to make adjustments, and you'll see that come out as well as the playoffs go on. And unfortunately, it's not going to be with us in it, but we definitely probably taught them a few things about going forward.
I would agree with that completely. And something that I noticed watching the series on a smaller scale would be, you know, Boris Diaw, obviously a very talented, multi-dimensional player, but there were times where you guys went small and it would be a Vince Carter or Matt Barnes, somebody undersized against Diaw, and he would try to abuse them in the post, and he just wasn't, whether he was off that game or whether it was, he just didn't have the leverage and he didn't have the foot speed maybe to try to keep up and take advantage of that size difference. That's something that I noticed as well that somebody could maybe pick up on heading into the next series.
Yeah, and you know what helped us immensely was I know I can picture exactly when you're talking about. We have Vince on him. We can also put Matt Barnes on him. And you're talking about two guys who, I mean, they're going to fight with everything they have. So it doesn't matter if they were on Tim Duncan, LaMarcus Aldridge, which Matt Barnes was, and I thought he did a heck of a job on him as well. You know what you're going to get from those guys. You know they're going to give everything they have. You never have to be concerned about that. If LaMarcus Aldridge gets him once or twice, if Boris Diaw gets him once or twice, he's going to be okay. He's not going to get down and then just take a beating the rest of the game. He's going to keep fighting him. He's going to make those guys work for what they're going to get. And, again, I mean, that's all we could ask of these guys with what we had and, you know, the challenges that we faced against a very good team. And they definitely rang the bell and with even more than what I think anyone would have expected.
We're talking here with Coach Jason March, an assistant coach and advanced scout for your Memphis Grizzlies. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Jason L. March. And this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Now, the Grizzlies, of course, ended the season pretty poorly, and that's not something that we necessarily need to harp on, of course. The injuries, everybody knows that story that's been discussed on every Grizzlies blog, every radio show. That's up and down. We know how the story ended and why it ended that way. I am choosing to focus on the fact that they got there in the first place, Coach March. How in the world did the Grizzlies hold it together? Was it the fact, and this is one of the things that Coach Yeager got emotional about, the veteran leadership of Matt Barnes and Tony Allen and Zach Randolph and Vince Carter? Was it the youthful exuberance of the bench because you got Lance Stephenson and, you know, Xavier Munford and you got Jermichael Green and Jarrell Martin? They all played well coming off the bench in the roles that they had at various times. How do you go through that grind of the season and still find a way with all of the injuries to be the first team in NBA history to play 28 guys and make the playoffs?
Well, I'll start with Dave Yeager. He kept the guys together. He found a way to get them to trust that, you know what, we're not going to give up on no matter who comes through this place, and we are going to, as a coaching staff, try to give you guys every advantage we can. I think when they see a coach come out and practice the same as what we would have if we were loaded at, like, at the very beginning of the season, it didn't matter. Nothing changed. The routine stayed the same. Now, obviously, there were days where we couldn't practice. We didn't even have enough guys to practice. But it was the same. It was always the same message. And so a ton of credit has to go to him, which I think he will definitely get and has gotten. But then the next thing, obviously, is the leadership of the team. Everything is able to be held together in the locker room, obviously the most important place. And, you know, Vince and Matt, unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. I mean, we've all said that. But everyone, I think, one thing I think that has been missing is Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. Just because they weren't out there on the floor the whole time during their injury, sitting on the bench or, you know, up on the big screen for different things or whatever, they still had a major voice in that impact in the locker room that impacted the young guys and helped Matt and Vince and Zach and Tony, you know, and because they see things. I can promise you those guys watched every single game, and they talked to Zach. I know Mark talks to Zach and helps him. Look, hey, look, here's what I see. And Zach asked for help. You know, what are you seeing, big fella? You know, I've heard him say that 100 times. And so those two guys still played a huge part in what success we had going forward. I know I'm kind of rambling through the question, but there were so many things. The youthful exuberance that definitely had a key to it. I mean, you bring guys in who want a chance. Just give me a chance to play, right? That's what you always hear. Well, they got a chance, and they got a meaningful chance, got meaningful minutes. So they gave you unbelievable energy, which is something that we needed and we got. And, you know, and so I could just go down the list. I mean, the one thing I will say, you know, after the season ended, we counted. We had, I believe it was 9 point guards throughout the year. 9 point guards. That is, it's crazy to think about that. Now, that's not counting, like, the Cleveland game when Vince Carter was basically bringing it up the floor. you know, and other games where earlier in the year you had Courtney Lee bringing the ball up the floor.
Absolutely.
So it's not even counting those. It's like legitimate point guards, nine of them. I think it's crazy. That number is just a crazy number to think. It is one of the most important positions on the floor. It's where the plays come from through the coach, then the point guard, and that's the quarterback of the team, so to speak. So for everything that these guys did, and again, it's the leadership of all those guys in the locker room and then carrying it on to the floor, it was incredible to see.
It's a culture that's established not in days but in months and years, and I think that that's something that folks lose sight of sometimes when you talk about processes and tanking and lottery selections. Yeah, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have the mentality to succeed and if there's not a winning culture in place, I'll never understand the argument for losing on purpose, and obviously coaches and players certainly don't do that. We're talking with Jason March, assistant coach and advanced scout for the Memphis Grizzlies. Follow him on Twitter at Jason L. March, and we'll get you out of here on this, Coach, and we appreciate your time. I know you might not be able to say too much yet. Season just ended. You probably are still catching your breath, but, you know, nature of the beast, especially over at grizzlybearblues.com, we kind of take a look ahead. I mentioned at the beginning of the show you've coached Summer League in the past. If you're able to give any details as to how that'll look, maybe not the roster, of course, but how involved you'll be in that, and then overall with the offseason, what do you think the Memphis Grizzlies have to add or improve upon moving forward if they want to continue to stay competitive in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I mean, we have talked about it a little bit going into Summer League and what, you know, what guys we want to try to get more from or less from. You know, we had some of these young guys. I think Jamichael Green logged or played the most games for us all year. So
That's true.
You know, he's a guy that, you know, maybe you cut him back a little bit or, you know, for Summer League and stuff, but you still want to give him a chance to get better. But, you know, we can do that stuff in practices, Summer League practices and that kind of stuff. So we'll see going forward what we do with all that. And obviously, you know, Coach Yeager will want to sit down and really put numbers to names and, you know, what do we need to do with this guy and that. And so going forward, Summer League, it's a process that you want guys to get extra work in games playing against other potential NBA guys or already guys that are in the NBA. But I think you got to take a long look at it. So I'm sure Coach will sit down with management and they'll decide what they want. I think all of the coaches will probably have some type of hand in Summer League this year. And especially with, you know, we're going to have another draft pick. We'll have, you know, some of our young guys in there. And so we'll all want to get our hands on them. You know, by that time in the summer, you're itching to get back out there and start coaching guys and, hey, let's get in this drill and shoot this many balls and all that good stuff. So it'll definitely be a part of Summer League that all of us want to be a part of. And we'll let Coach, you know, take a breath here and see then decide what he wants to do. So we'll see about that going forward. As far as pieces to add and all that good stuff, it's going to be an interesting summer. I mean, there's a lot of questions, obviously, with our roster. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I don't know what all will happen. I don't think anybody could say right now exactly what will happen because of all the changes that could happen or will not happen. You know, it's really hard to look into the future and see what's going to happen because it wouldn't just be with us. You know, it's another 29 teams out there doing things and you'll see what they do. And, you know, so you never know. But obviously there are needs that we would like to fill and there hopefully will be some guys out there that can come in and help us out. But, I mean, the roster we had this year, these guys that came in, they definitely got a chance to show what they were made of and they gave us everything they had. So I think they caught a lot of people's eyes and, you know, going forward, I'm sure they will definitely be a part of it as well unless, you know, something else were to change. That's about the best I can do for you on that one.
Oh, no, I understand completely. I was just curious. Obviously, every year in and year out, people say perimeter shooting, but it's not always that simple, of course, and you also want guys that are, you know, creators off the dribble, so that's kind of what I meant. Do you think there's a particular skill set that they need to improve on beyond that, or do you just think it's kind of an overall you want to add good basketball players kind of thing?
If it was my decision, give me a basketball player.
Give me
a guy who can play basketball, can play with the team, and fit in with what we have on our roster, and knows how to play the game. I think that's what I would suggest, and I would want to bring in to fit into our team to continue to build our culture and Grizzlies basketball is what it's become. It's, you know, you said earlier, we bring these young guys in now. It's amazing now that we see when guys come in, you even hear them say, oh, so this is what Grizzlies basketball is about. And it is usually talking about the defensive end of the floor and all that good stuff. But it's really cool to see how far we've come as far as building what we're trying to do and eventually get to the top and win the championship.
That's exactly right, Coach. And again, it comes back to culture and it comes back to that identity that's been established by this team. And like you said, looking back to, just 7 or so years ago when this team was struggling mightily, looking, having lottery draft pick parties and things like that, it's a drastic change. And I would take this any day. Coach March, thank you so much for your time. It is much appreciated. Enjoy, get some sleep, get some rest, will you? And we'll catch up with you, hopefully maybe after Summer League and see where things are falling. But that's a little ways away. Go get some rest.
Definitely. Thank you very much for having me on. Happy to join you. And you need to get some rest too now. You guys have been putting in a lot of hours watching a lot of basketball too. I read Twitter and see some of the stuff you guys got going on as well. So you guys get some rest as well. Have a good summer, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Coach.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Coach Jason March, assistant coach and advanced scout for the Memphis Grizzlies. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Jason L. March. Nice little shout-out for the bloggers there. How about that? I like that. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. It's been a tremendous show, wrapping up the 2015-2016 season for the Memphis Grizzlies with a hint of a look ahead to what will be a tremendously turbulent, potentially, offseason for the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot of change on the horizon, perhaps. Before I move into the final parts of the show, I do want to make sure I give our Facebook commenters a shout-out on the question of the day, our own Chris Faulkner, site managing editor. If Vince Carter, counts as a free agent, then 1,000% him, and we are counting him as that. Mario Chalmers also counts. If he counts, he's a close second. I would say both of them, and I'd like to see both of them back as well. Waleed Golami, please forgive me if I mispronounce that, says, I want Mike, Mario, Vince, and Matt all back together. So he kind of wants to see the band get back together. I'm not so sure we'll get that, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at Matt Barnes. But I do think you'll see some of these guys come trickling back in. And again, it comes back to that culture idea. It comes back to these veterans who have been here, Vince Carter now for a couple of years. Obviously, Conley's been around for a long time. These guys help build something. And that means something now that it didn't mean before in the National Basketball Association when it comes to Memphis Grizzlies basketball. That's powerful to me, and that's worth more than just throwing it away and throwing it down the tubes to try to acquire. Don't get me wrong, generational talent, obviously there's guys that are playing now that, Tim Duncan's a great example for the Spurs. Obviously he's older now, but he's, the greatest power forward of all time. You got LeBron James with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You've got, obviously, Steph Curry and the Warriors and what they're doing, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. It takes talent. There's no question about that. But it also takes a winning culture, and those are the truly great teams. There's good to great, and the great ones have that culture. The Grizzlies have the culture. They just got to start moving some pieces around and trying to find some of the players that can match it. And I think that they're in a position this offseason to actually do that a little bit more than maybe they had in the past couple with the cap space and then also all the trades that they made with Jeff Green and Courtney Lee. They've got some draft picks now that they can finagle and maybe move around a little bit approaching the NBA draft. Make sure you're following the show on iTunes. Make sure you're subscribing, reviewing, rating. Give us a nice review. Don't miss another episode. Of course, we're going on hiatus after this program ends, but you can make sure that you're subscribed so that when we return here in the month or so, you'll be able to catch back up and get back on board with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at GBB Live as we update you on our hiatus. Again, once the NBA Finals schedule comes out, we'll be able to give you a more definitive time frame for when we will return. It will be during the NBA Finals, and we'll start our summer session, so to speak, our summer season of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, which usually carries through free agency end of July, and then we take a longer break before we get into basketball season again, which seems so far away, but it'll be here before you know it. It's amazing how life works. Time flies, as they say. I want to make sure I thank TickIQ.com, great sponsor of the show. Make sure you're using them for all of your ticket needs. I also want to say thank you to FanEssentials.net, another tremendous sponsor, and we're about to do our final, for the regular season at least, and playoffs here. Final drawing for Fan Essentials gear. Thanks to everybody who follows us on Twitter, and thanks to all of the retweets and all that stuff. Another Twitter giveaway, and we will vary those as we enter into the summer with the giveaways that we do. We'll mix it up a little bit with how we give away these boxes. But for the last one, we figured we'd stick with what we know, what's been successful. Thanks to everybody who's participated. Let's take a look at who will win this week. Let's do our drawing. So again, here we go. Doing our drawing. Who's going to win the Fan Essentials gear for free? 1 month subscription goes to Mr. Russell Smith at Boatman Snaps 13. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. Thank you for tweeting and doing all the great stuff. And thanks for entering the contest. You are the winner, sir. I will get your information here momentarily, and I will send you your information for how you can get your 1 month subscription to FanEssentials.net. So once again, Russell Smith, thank you so much for being a part of the GBB Live community here and listening to the show. You will be getting that 1 month subscription to FanEssentials.net. Thank you, Russell. And thanks to FanEssentials.net for sponsoring the giveaway. Thanks to my guests, Maddie B., Matt Bishop. Thank you to Coach Jason March. A tremendous, tremendous job from him. Great insight into game planning against the Spurs and what this team will look like potentially in the future with their eyes ahead. Thank you to everybody who has written for GrizzlyBearBlues.com this season. Thank you to the fan posters. Thank you to the game recappers, the previewers. The season can be a grind, but we had a tremendous staff. Thank you to all of our feature writers. Thank you to our draft folks who are going to be kind of carrying the weight the next month or two getting into the NBA draft. Thank you to Matt Bishop again, Chris Faulkner, for allowing me the opportunity to do this podcast. We've done multiple episodes now. We're approaching 100 within our next season. We'll have 100 episodes of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. That is remarkable. I'm excited about that as we head into next year. Thanks to everybody on Twitter. Thanks to everyone who has enjoyed our show. Thank you for going to GrizzlyBearBlues.com. It has been a tremendous season, and it's been a tremendous season of growth for Grizzly Bear Blues Live. The most successful year in terms of people tuning in the history of the show. That doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens through word of mouth. It happens through folks passing along Grizzly Bear Blues Live as a podcast for the Memphis Grizzlies, and I appreciate that immensely. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for being a part of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, and thank you for making us a small part of your Memphis Grizzlies fandom experience. That's it for me. I'm going on a break from podcasting at least. I will still be doing the Friday 3, and I'll be writing player reviews. The writing goes on over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, but as far as podcasting, I'm going to catch my breath. I'll be back during the NBA Finals. Thank you, everyone, once again. I will see you during the Finals for the summer session of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Until then, I am your host, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Mullinax. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in June. Grind forth. This has been and will continue to be Grizzly Bear Blues Live.